Please be seated for a moment. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We have come to observe what Holy Mother Church calls the obsequies. It's an intriguing word and very profound for the one whom we love, whom we are laying to rest this day. Because to be obsequious, to observe an obsequy, means to be obedient. To observe as perfectly as possible all of the ceremony, all of the ritual that Holy Mother Church uses to inspire and uses to teach us what it is that is taking place. And today, we are laying to rest the mortal remains of the one whom we have called our bishop, our teacher, our spiritual father. And yet we are reminded, as was always his favorite phrase from the preface of today's Mass, Vita mutatur non tolitur. I never forgot how much that meant to him. For those who believe, life is changed. It is not taken away. That is why we, especially many of us who are Franciscans, gathered here, we have wept our tears. We have groaned and grieved. But we have also picked ourselves up with holy hope, knowing that now life is different for Bishop Vizelis. Now we intercede for him and he intercedes for us. We offer our prayers and sacrifices for him, for his immortal soul, because that is the true pain of death, is the uncertainty. That's why we fear it so much. We don't know that we've been good enough. We are certain, if we are honest, that we have not been. To be received into the arms of Christ immediately upon death is a misconception of the worst kind for some. And so, Bishop Vizelis often wondered to himself, in all of these years of my life, what have I done? What have I actually accomplished? This is what we must remind ourselves of. We will all have to ask this question, if we haven't already. What have I accomplished with my life? Well, first of all, who could number the amount of holy masses that those anointed hands have offered? We paid our respects to a corpus because it has been the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as St. Augustine would say, it is worthy of all reverence, of all respect, precisely because God Himself was pleased to dwell in that body. But at the same time, he has received a much greater privilege and dignity to have not only his hands twice anointed, but also his head. To have received that special unction of the Holy Spirit. That is the first thing that he accomplished with his life. And the second is sitting before you in the sanctuary. The second great thing that our Father accomplished is to fearlessly preserve the fourth mark of the Catholic Church, apostolicity. There are true apostles left to fight and defend the true faith. There are priests still able to offer the sacrifice that will appease God's anger, which is so much kindled against this world today. We have every reason to fear divine chastisement. And what holds it all together? What holds God's arm back from destroying everything? The simple and humble sacrifice which just took place. The simple men, the friars who have been called. Now let it be known to you that all of the remaining bishops are Franciscans. There is something about the spirit of St. Francis that will not die. And our Lord Himself promised that His Spirit, the Spirit of St. Francis, of holy humility, of obedience to Holy Mother Church, even if it costs our lives, that Spirit will never be snuffed out. Never. Our Lord has promised, and His word is true. In thinking of the many ways in which I could express my own emotions or spiritual reflections to you, I thought it best to give you a comparison about whom I see in our now departed Father. I see two figures of the Old Testament in him. Follow if you can. But in one very real way, he is Elias the prophet. How so? Elias the prophet stood up against the 450 priests of Baal who had the favor of those with money and influence. And very often, those true prophets whose duty it was to defend and uphold God's law caved in. Very often it happened. Or they were murdered by whom other than Jezebel and her weak-willed husband. Why do I say I see Elias the prophet here? Fearlessly, in the face of all of the destruction that we are all familiar with, the compromising, the watering down of Catholic doctrine, those clergy who would rather serve themselves, their own selfish desires, than the souls entrusted to them. Yes, we've seen just about everything now. But not this man. No matter what you may have thought of him, no matter when, the one thing that followed him into eternity is that he did not cave in. He did not compromise. Nor would he have. And he left behind him true bishops, true priests, souls able to receive fruitful sacraments, to have more than that, pastors for your souls, not hirelings. Pastors of your souls to guide you and teach you. And he walked the journey as Elias did, alone, through the desert, without food, as it were, without light, trusting in God's divine protection. And what happened to Elias when he said, "It's enough, Lord"? He laid himself down in the burning sun and he said, "It's enough for me. Take my life from me. I've had enough." Then an angel of God appeared and gave him that miraculous bread and water. And the scripture declares to us that in the strength of that water and that bread, Elias walked, how long? 40 days and 40 nights, to the foot of the mountain. Bishop Vizalis, by divine intervention, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who was cast out of the souls of many false clergy, by the Holy Spirit's guidance, he was guided to walk in the strength of this bread, the bread of life, for more than 50 years of holy priesthood, faithful to Holy Mother Church, and to remain a true prophet to the end, even while, as you know the story of Elias the prophet, the 450 priests of Baal set up this challenge to find out who is the real God. They said, of course, it is Baal, and we will show you. They proposed a test. And Elias, to make things interesting, had a total of 12 buckets of water doused upon the wood on his altar. And as you know, even though the prophets of Baal, the false priests, cried from morning until evening, and they even cut themselves until they were bleeding everywhere, screaming, what did Elias say? He laughed at them. He chuckled. He said, maybe you should scream louder. He may be having trouble hearing you. And with one simple prayer, Elias called down from heaven divine fire that not only evaporated all of the water around and on the wood that was placed on the altar, it consumed completely the stones. It was a miracle. And how can we not see the same thing? But I'm telling you something very profound, the best way that I can. Because the bishop has left behind him something real. Something real that calls to mind the words of Gamaliel when he warned the Pharisees, be careful what you do in persecuting these apostles. What were the words that he used? Lest you find yourselves fighting against the living God. And those who come up against you, should you remain faithful to your bishop, will suffer a similar fate. If you remain faithful to God, He is faithful. And He will remain perpetually faithful to you. And I wish to bring one more figure to your attention. How can we not think of the great king and prophet David? David suffered similarly. Persecution. Unjust persecution. But what did he do? It was his own father figure, King Saul, the one whom he loved so much, who seeked to kill him on many occasions out of envy. He wanted to destroy the good that he saw in King David. And those of you who know the bishop's life know very well that is exactly what many tried to do to him. And without him knowing why, they hate me. They wish to destroy me. This is why. Because envy is the devil's sin. What happened in the end, though? When Saul lost God's favor through his pride and constant disobedience, what happened? He lost even that divine guidance of the prophets. For when Samuel died, he even invoked a witch to try to help him, to get some kind of insight about how to defeat his enemies who were now pressing upon him. And King Saul was informed by Samuel, by his spirit, from beyond the grave, tomorrow you will be with me, along with your sons, meaning you will die in this battle. And that, for those of you whom I pray read the scripture daily, for your inspiration and your comfort, your instruction, those of you know what happened to Saul. How the whole strength of the battle was turned upon him. And all of the archers fired their arrows into him. And instead of allowing those people to slaughter him, he fell upon his own sword in cowardice, tried to commit suicide, and even that was not enough to kill him. Well, what happened, I'm telling you, is that David did not rejoice over the death of his enemy. Just as none of us rejoice over seeing souls go astray. Those turning away their hearing from the truth, we grieve like David did for their father. When David said, "How art the mighty fallen in battle?" He grieved. He did not say, "Good, my enemy is gone." He did not say, "Good, all of that trial is finished. I have no one to hate me or rival me anymore." No, he said, "My father, my father." And he wept for King Saul bitterly. Why do I tell you this? It's important. You will understand. Because if it was so pleasing to God for David to pray this way for his enemy who had done such evil to him, how much more will God not be pleased for a whole multitude of spiritual children to rise up and to bless our Father who has done so much good for us over these many years of sacred ministry? Look inside of your own heart and understand the good that has been given to you by your Heavenly Father. Perhaps you did not like the means in which it came, but it came for you. And now you are bound, as we all are. Those of you who have been baptized into Christ's death are baptized into his life all the same way, so that this will be your end too, but not the ultimate end. This is what St. Paul speaks of as rest. Those who sleep. Let us then prepare our soul to give an account of what we have done with the blessings received through this man's hands. And after laying his bodily remains to rest, we will be bound. We are from this moment bound to honor him and to increase the gifts that were given us from heaven through his hands. God is powerful to increase his grace in every one of us. And I pray that his holy church will become more valiant than ever in battle. For this is what we face today. Seeing one soldier laid to rest, a general, we ought to be inspired and not be afraid ever to lay down our lives. And now I invite you to hear the words of God in another language, because he speaks everyone. And His Excellency Bishop Madrigal will give a eulogy, a sermon, to give us the words of the Holy Spirit for the Church in Mexico, to console them in this hour. Amen. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descenda super vos, et mania semper. Amen.